May the Lord enable us to commence this evening with hymn 1118. What is love? My soul would answer, naught deserves the endearing name but the God of love, the Saviour, whose dear heart's a constant flame. 1118.
From the Word of God, Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Reading together from Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May the Lord bless that word of truth to us, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, once more we seek to draw near to thee in this evening sacrifice of worship upon this thy day. We do deem it a privilege and an opportunity to come together in thy name, and that we might seek thee around thy holy word of truth, and desire, Lord, that Now be pleased to be present with us. We do need thee, Lord, in the midst. If thou art pleased to come in the midst of us, Lord, then we do pray that we may be helped with grace in our hearts to serve thee and to please thee and to give glory to thy name. And Lord, we do pray that we may see thy work in the midst of us, or that we may be brought to hear and to receive thy word mixed with faith, that it may have real and true effect upon our hearts and upon our lives, helping us, Lord, to live unto thee and to serve thee. And we pray all our days here below. And we do pray, Lord, as we gather together in thy name, that thou wilt bless us each with a teachable spirit, that we might learn and know of thee. And thou hast promised, Lord, that thou wilt come and that thou wilt feed the hungry poor of thy people. O Lord, we do pray that we have each come and that we are poor, that we are needy. But Lord, hungering and thirsting, we pray thee once more for a living portion for our souls, and that thou wilt be pleased to come and speak to each one of us the words of this life, the precious truths of thy gospel grace, all that thou art, Lord, to thy people, and where thou dost show thyself in all the riches of thy grace, thy mercy, thy goodness, thy care, keeping and preservation towards us, and how that thou, Lord, art that one who doth undertake our whole cause and interest here below. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to make a way for us through this waste howling wilderness. And Lord, we do pray that we may be brought to see and to feel our need of thee continually as we go forth in thy name. Lord, many enemies, world, flesh, devil, and Lord, those things, Lord, which we find in our own hearts, betimes thou knowest, and thou knowest how that we come before thee and tell thee, Lord, all the things that do concern us. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to subdue sin, and let not sin have dominion over us. O Lord, we pray, keep and preserve us from all evil, Lord, and help us to abstain from every appearance of it, if it will be thy gracious will, and that we shall be a people, Lord, set apart for thy glory, and how that we shall please thee, and how that we shall be helped and enabled, Lord, to lift thee up and to magnify thy name in our hearts and in our lives, in our worship, Lord, in our devotion to thee. We do need thy help, and we need thy grace to come upon us, to lead us forth, Lord, as those indeed that belong to thee. And we pray, Lord, and thank thee then for our worship this evening hour. And we pray, Lord, that we may hear and receive thy word. Good ground hear us, Lord. Prepare each of our hearts, Lord, to hear and to receive thy word, for thou hast the words of eternal life. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be strengthened with all might by thy Spirit in the inner man through thy word. We pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear unto each one of us in a very real and personal way. O Lord, our concerns, our trials, our troubles, those things needful to us, Lord. And Lord, thou knowest the heart, Lord. And also, Lord, many differing needs and conditions amongst us, Lord. But Lord, we do pray, out of thy fullness appear unto each one of us, we pray thee. And Lord, thou knowest, Lord, all about us, thou seest us as we are, Lord, and nothing can be hidden from thee, Lord. But we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and meet our case and our need as it may arise at this time. And we do pray, Lord, that as we seek to worship thee this day, that we may be blessed in our souls, Lord, and with a portion of thy word, and Lord, that our souls may be filled with thy goodness, for only thou satisfiest the longing soul and fillest the hungry soul with goodness. And Lord, we do pray that we may come as thy handmaid Mary, Lord. It was truly an opportunity, Lord. And Lord, it wasn't the pots and the pans and the preparation of the food and so forth, as thou, Lord, didst appear in the house of Martha and Mary and with the disciples. But, Lord, it was thy word, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. Oh, it is a mercy, Lord, to be able to partake of thee, Lord, in the gospel, and that our souls may be enriched in thy word, and that we may be those, Lord, that shall often be able to rejoice, and to rejoice in our salvation, to rejoice in all that thou hast done for us, and to rejoice in everything that thou hast prepared for us here below, to bring us through our course. O Lord, we wait upon thee, and we trust, Lord, in thy name, that thou wilt be pleased to come to each one of us and lift us up, Lord, in our hearts. We pray thee, and we pray, Lord, that we may be those that shall give glory to thee, for thou hast done great things for us, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that we shall oft bring thee into remembrance, oft praise and bless thee, exalt thee, Lord. Oh, may we never forget, Lord, the greatness, Lord, of our salvation, and those things that we've just sung together in that hymn. Oh, what it did cost thee, Lord, to put away our sins. And Lord, there was love in every wound, love in every bruise, love, Lord, in that body indeed, that was torn, as it were, grappling with the powers of darkness, but love, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may each know what it is, for that love that thou did show to us reciprocated, Lord, and in our poor souls, bringing us near to thee, and, Lord, helping us continually, Lord, to lift thee up, to praise and bless thee for all the wonders of thy grace to sinners. Yes, Lord, black, filthy sinners, Lord. And yet, Lord, it is unto sinners that thou didst come into this sin-cursed world. It was for sinners, Lord. It was for the sick, Lord. O Lord, we do thank thee that we were made sick, Lord. And that, Lord, it is thou, Lord, as thou didst teach us by thy Spirit and convince us of our sin, then, O Lord, we were sick, and we became sick, sick of self and sick of sin. But we thank thee, Lord, for the affliction. We thank thee, Lord, for the trouble that we were found in. But we thank thee, Lord, for the mercy that we found. We thank thee, Lord, that thou didst see and hear our pleading and our cause, our cries unto thee, and that thou didst see, Lord, and look upon the work of thine own hands, the glorious change wrought within. We thank thee, Lord, that it was a change by grace, Lord, and only thou, Lord, through thy Spirit, is able, Lord, to humble the soul, to give that contrite, that new contrite heart, and that heart that thou wilt be pleased to look down upon and honour. Unto this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. O Lord, we do pray and thank thee that, Lord, thou didst appear. O Lord, we do pray that we may be helped then to live upon thee. Be with us in every part and aspect of our lives. We've read in thy word, Lord, concerning those things regarding husbands and wives, children and fathers and parents. O Lord, we do pray, help us to hear, receive thy word, Lord, and help us to abide and walk in the truth of it. We pray thee, Lord. We do need grace in our hearts, and we do pray, Lord, that we might know what it is to be more like unto thee, Lord. Oh, do, Lord, we pray, reveal and manifest thyself to us in the blessedness of thy person. And help us, Lord, to know more of that likeness, more of thy nature. Thou didst come to show pity and compassion and mercy to sinners. Thou didst come to speak the gospel to the poor. Thou didst come, Lord, to show mercy to the publican. And thou didst answer to their needs, Lord. Be pleased to come and answer to our needs this evening, our Lord. We pray thee. And we do pray that our time spent together, that it may be a good and a profitable time, and that we may go forth, Lord, this day and take something beyond the chapel steps, if it will be thy gracious will, something that may rest and abide in our poor souls, what thou hast done for us. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we shall not be those continuing to come in and out of the doors of thy house, unmoved and unconcerned, Lord. O Lord, we were in that experience in our younger days, Lord. Thou knowest, in and out of the chapel doors. And yes, we have to confess, Lord, very little that where we were drawn to thee at all. But Lord, thou didst show mercy, and thou didst show thy loving kindness, and it was above what we ever deserved. Thou knowest, Lord, for we had turned our back upon thee for so long, and yet we thank thee, Lord, that thy love towards us was constant and true. O Lord, we do pray for that humble heart before thee, Lord, and help us to walk humbly all our days under a sense and a knowledge, Lord, of thy dying love to us. So keep us each, Lord, watch over us each in our way and path here below, and be pleased, Lord, to appear for us in respect of all our needs and all our concerns. Help us to come and to commit everything concerning us to thy feet, Lord, and to wait upon thee. And, Lord, be mindful of us, Lord. O Lord, we continue to come to thee, Lord. What a mercy it is to be found weak and helpless, Lord, seeking divine wisdom and divine grace in our hearts to continue. Be pleased to work it in us, Lord, by spirit and power. And we do pray, Lord, for this cause of truth. Oh, we do pray, Lord, and thank thee that there is a witness of the gospel here, the precious truths of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded. Oh, but Lord, we want them to be recorded in our poor hearts, Lord. And Lord, we do pray and thank thee then for the mercy that is found here, the mercy of covenant love and blessings, the mercy of a covenant God with his people, the mercy, Lord, of the word and truth of the gospel preached and proclaimed, and the mercy of a promised heaven and glory for thy people. Oh, do, Lord, we pray thee then, watch over thy people here, be with them each and every day, Lord, in all their way and path, and help them, Lord, to commit everything concerns them into thy hands and to wait upon thee. So, Lord, we ask these mercies. And be pleased to subdue all sin, and let not sin, reign over us, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how that with Job that we're brought to see and to feel, Lord, our sins, besetting sins, our wayward hearts, and, Lord, very solemnly confessing to the carnality that we find in our hearts and lives, thou knowest. But, O Lord, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, and we thank thee, Lord, that we have an advocate upon high that pleads the very cause and the interest of thy people. And we thank thee that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be with, Lord, then each of thy people here. Watch over them for good. And be with us now, Lord. Help thy servant to speak in thy name. Teach him by thy Spirit. And be pleased, Lord, to take of the things of Jesus and to show them unto thy people here, that our time spent together may be a good time and a prosperous time, Lord. And pray that we may be, Lord, worship to thy glory. We ask these things in and through that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 95. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Hymn number 95.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. And it is reading the first four verses in the chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It was expedient that the Lord should go away. I just mentioned a little this morning, not only that he should fulfill his heavenly Father's will, and that he should show himself a perfect sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his people, remembering that he was a real man, like you and I, a real man, body and soul together, but without sin, a real man. One had to suffer for the sins of one's life, a life of sin, a life of evil, and a life of wretchedness. One had to suffer in that same body, and Jesus, without sin, suffered for us so that we should never suffer, so that we should be set free, so that we should be changed and renewed, that we should now live a new life of faith. And if ye then be risen with Christ, the cross is a wonderful place, because it is there, dear friends, that in the likeness of Christ's sufferings and death, we have also a type of the glorious change that grace wrought in the soul will do for a sinner. A lost sinner, a dead sinner. Christ suffered, bled and died, and he rose again. And he is now seated above at the right hand of the Father. And his glorious resurrection is a most precious, glorious doctrinal truth. It is that, dear friends, that a living soul will embrace the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It typifies his sufferings, death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. The path that the sinner will be brought to pass through. The one that grace will change as sin is revealed and made manifest. It is through Jesus and his cross that that sin shall be put away completely, washed away, blotted out, never to be remembered against the sinner anymore. And as the sinner is brought to see and to feel those sins pardoned and forgiven, the cross of Jesus, his sufferings, death and resurrection typify that new and glorious change that shall be wrought in the soul. The church delivered from death unto life. In the likeness then of his sufferings and death, it is the likeness of that glorious change divinely wrought in the soul of a sinner from death death is a sinner, but changed to the glorious blessing of life and joy and peace in Jesus. A life new and a life spiritual. A life now to live upon Christ. And this is the wonderful mercy. It will be a change where the soul will be brought to see the precious Jesus. And I remember that sat under his truth for so many years, and Christ meant very little or nothing to me. But now is all and everything. Cannot be without him. Without him, I should fall. There's no doubt about that. Need him now to keep me, preserve me, to work in me his spirit and power, and to give me a desire and a love for his name. I need him every day to do that, because it isn't in myself, you see. But I find it a wonderful truth. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I will need the Lord, and you will need him, dear friends, to be able to seek those things that are above. And it does not mean, dear friends, that we haven't got to go about our proper things that we have to do here below. There's many things we haven't got to give up, dear friends. We still have to live lives here in that natural way. And we still labour, dear friends, by the sweat of our face to eat bread. We still live and work here. And we still, dear friends, live to work, and we live also to take those times and seasons of rest and change. Oh yes, it doesn't mean to say, dear friends, that we've got to give up much of our lives. It is just, dear friends, that we live now upon Christ. We thought and believed, and we did, that we managed ourselves before. Yes, we thought that we're going about the lives that we wanted, dear friends, here below, that we sought after. But no, it isn't that now, dear friends. What is made precious to the soul now is Christ. You see, he has been revealed in all the blessedness of his person. And tell me, is there any like unto Christ? No, think of that legion, dear friends. He wanted to be with Christ. Christ had done so much for him. But no, go tell thy friends and thy neighbours all that the Lord hath done for thee, the great things that he has done for thee. That is it, isn't it? That's the change. That's the difference to our lives before. You see, that man could never speak, dear friends, of that miserable life that he had. But now he can speak of the precious things that Jesus has done. And cannot we, dear friends? Isn't this the wonderful truth of what the gospel has done? That change that the Lord has done for us. And to be able then now to seek those things that are above, which we never had an interest before, you see. Never had an interest, never had a desire to seek those things that are above. Well, what is the truth here in respect of those things that are above? Dear friends, this is where Christ sitteth, at the right hand of the Father. Why? It is Christ that is there. Is he, dear friends, our one treasure in heaven now? Is he that one, dear friends, to be loved to be followed and served? Is he that one thing needful to us now? You see, what has happened in that glorious change that was wrought within us, we now are those, dear friends, that seek that the Lord might keep us and preserve us from offending against him, because that was our former life, wasn't it? But now, oh, we don't want to offend against him. No, we want him to keep us and to preserve us, to set our hearts above, upon those things that are above. Why is this, dear friends? We're journeying in that direction now. It's from the cross. You see, Jesus, from the cross, he took the crown. He has now entered into glory beside his heavenly Father. And we're journeying. The church are following Jesus. And isn't it good, isn't it proper, dear friends, that we should seek and find the Lord himself to be our all and in all, to seek those things which are above? And I generally apply this word to this truth. We're in the Lord's hands. We're under his care day by day. And we're continuing in our lives here below. But you see, our lives are the Lord, belong to the Lord. It's he that owns us now. And that is the wonderful mercy, isn't it? We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We're bought with a price, you see. We belong to the Lord Jesus. We are not our own anymore. Bought with that price, the price of his own heart's blood. And as opportunity will arise, that is what this word is here. As I say, we have to go about our labours. We have our families and our children to take care of. It all has to be done. But dear friends, as we journey forth day by day, may we be helped and enabled to seek those times and seasons where we might draw near to the Lord. Oh, this truth, seek those things which are above. And isn't it Jesus that is above? And can anyone, dear friends, seek anything more blessed and more glorious than Jesus? We will have to pray, dear friends, for a desire and for that time and season to turn aside for a moment and to draw near unto him. But, dear friends, he's done so much for us, hasn't he? So much for us. Everything he came to do here below, he did for his people. He suffered much, not just on the cross, dear friends, Gethsemane, but the very life that he lived, it was an afflictive life, dear friends. He has done so much for us. And there's so much in the Gospels, isn't there, that is such a blessing to the souls of the Lord's dear people. And we have then, if we be risen with Christ, if we have that new life of grace in our hearts, dear friends, and live a spiritual life unto the Lord, it is a life seeking him and serving him. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And he says here, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Dear friends, let our minds often be settled at times upon the covenant of God's grace. You know, that was where our names were originally written in heaven. Jesus asked to inform his disciples, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You see, and Jesus came and sealed those names in heaven, you see, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, that their names should never be erased, dear friends, out of the book of life. No, oh, seek those things that are above, dear friend. See where God settled everything for thy poor soul and mine in heaven's high court above, before time began, dear friends, the covenant of God's grace. And it was a wonderful covenant, you see. It was a covenant where Jesus became the covenantee, and it is he that came and fulfilled that covenant and grace on behalf of thy soul and mine in a very real and personal way. And we see the wonderful truth of this in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sufferings and his death at Calvary. And if he then be risen with Christ, may we often be brought to see and to understand the wonderful truth of that covenant of his grace. And then in that covenant of grace, dear friends, all our path was ordered. Our very lives are all set down in that covenant of grace. The whole safety and the security of the church are set down there, dear friends, in the covenant of grace. Everything that concerns us is set down in the covenant of grace. Oh, we have much to thank the Lord for in the covenant of his grace. Think of it in this way, dear friends. He knows our coming into this world. He knows our parents. He knows, dear friends, this wonderful truth, how that we were to be born into this world. It was all settled, dear friends, in the covenant of his grace, ordered in all things and sure in Jesus, David's greater son. And we've got much to thank the Lord for there. You see, born into this world, but oh, that the Lord was going to take notice of us. Oh, that is the mercy, isn't it? That the Lord was going to take notice of us. So we have this in respect of our families and our upbringing, all, dear friends, settled in the covenant of grace. There isn't one of us that born, dear friends, that are now assembled together in his name, which was all settled in the covenant of grace. Think of those things, dear friends. Our hearts seek those things which are above. Thank the Lord for much, dear friends, that he has done and wrought for us. And then in the covenant of grace, he has kept us and preserved us and brought us thus far in our pilgrimage journey. But where are we journeying? And he led them forth by the right way. As Jesus led us forth by the right way, dear friends, you see, where was it to? A city of habitation. Seek those things which are above. And I include in this, I don't know whether I mentioned it this morning or whether I mentioned it this afternoon at Ashwell, but that the Lord, dear friends, has bidden us that we might seek those things that are above. Why? Because we do not know how long we're going to abide here, dear friends. You may not want to hear it, but it is true. We do not know. I've just said that the Lord has worked out everything perfectly and completely for each one of us, our lives here below. We are in his hands, but may the Lord teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this is one of those ways. Seek those things which are above. What do we have above? Jesus at the right hand of the Father. What is he above, dear friend? He's prophet, priest and king to us. Oh, dear friends, this wonderful, dear man that suffered, bled and died for us is now that one that means so much to us. By and through his word, by and through his priesthood, by and through his kingship towards us. Think of those things, dear friend. The absolute care, keeping, preservation of the Lord's dear people. And then, isn't he truly that great prophet that speaks to us through the gospel? Yes, he is, dear friends. It is a mercy to be found in the ordinances of his house, and that the Lord has opened our ears and heart to hear and to receive his word. That is one of the most glorious truths. You know, it's something to thank the Lord for. There's a little place here which says, and you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Dear friends, the gospel is hid to a good many ears, and it's something to thank the Lord for. that he has opened our ears and hearts to hear and to receive his word is the wonderful truth. But he speaks to us now through the gospel. And isn't he that one, dear friends, that by and through the ministry and the preaching of the gospel, he comes, he speaks the words of truth and life into the souls of sinners to sustain them inwardly and spiritually in their souls. I mentioned those two on the Emmaus Road. And dear friends, only the Lord can lift us up. You see, only the Lord, by and through his word, can speak unto us each, and that we can be lifted up and be brought near to him in the gospel. Then there's just these things in those things that are above. The spirits of just men made perfect. Those that have fulfilled their course. They've come through, dear friends, through great tribulation. And they're those, dear friends, that the Lord, and we've closed in the words this morning, but in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. They overcame, dear friends. Jesus overcame all our enemies at Calvary, and we have some enemies before us yet. Yes, we're still continuing world, flesh, and devil. And, dear friends, the last two great enemies is death and the grave. But I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus has overcome all our enemies for us. And we have that wonderful truth shown to us. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God. Are we the citizens of Zion, dear friends? Are we one of the Lord's people in Zion? And just thinking of a word in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word means our conversation in heaven. It means that we're citizens of heaven. That's what it means in the interpretation of the word. That is what it means, that we're citizens of heaven, Zion. And this is the truth here, isn't it? But ye are come unto Mount Zion. And I believe that the Lord must have, by and through this word here, through Paul, lifted up the spirit of these Hebrew Christians, because, you know, they were persecuted and tried for the truth and for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But, oh, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has prepared for his people. See how he's overcome all our enemies, and he's brought them to heaven and to where he is, you see. And to the spirits of just men, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Oh, this is the wonderful truth here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're journeying, dear friends. This is the wonderful truth here that we're coming to. We're coming to the heavenly Jerusalem. And this was in the faith of all the saints of old. It's in the faith, dear friends, of Paul. He was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, Paul, he loved to be near to the Lord Jesus, didn't he? Seeking those things that are above, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to know more of Jesus, more union, communion. He wanted further blessings and tokens in his soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, seek those things which are above. And by way of, I mentioned being that great prophet, you know, Peter, thou hast the words of eternal life. Every word that the Lord is pleased to speak into our poor souls, it's a token of heaven, isn't it? If the Lord will apply his word, they're those high heaps and waymarks as we journey forth, dear friends, to the heavenly Jerusalem, is the wonderful truth, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Oh, they're all safely secured, dear friends, in heaven. What a mercy it is, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and then to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. May we be helped to seek those things which are above. Seek the Lord Jesus. You might be found in the pews of the house, and you might say, well, I don't know the Lord Jesus yet. He hasn't come to my poor soul. I'm seeking. Well, dear friends, seek on. The Lord has promised that you will find. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. It shows that they're the important things. The things of thy soul are the important things. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And he is now, dear friends, sat on the right hand of God. That he is to receive all those who are the fruits of his sufferings and death. His business to gather them in. His business with his ministers through the gospel to preach, dear friends, and to gather in all the lost sheep, to bring them into the fold of his grace. And he will bring every one of them in, so that not one shall remain or be left behind till the end of time, till the consummation of all things. They will all be gathered in. I'm just thinking of a word as I go along. I think the Lord's showing it to me, I'm sure, no doubt. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. At that time, at the restitution of all things, the church will all be gathered in. Everyone will be safe and secure, and they will be gathered in through the cross. And those two precious hymns that we've sung together, they will be gathered in. None shall be left. Set your affection then on things above, not on things on the earth. And the margin rendering of that word affection is, or the mind. May the Lord help us to turn our hearts and our minds time to time unto him. You know, I know that when I'm driving, I'm supposed to be taking notice of what I'm doing driving in the car. But you know, the Lord has appeared on so many times whilst I've been driving, and he's lifted my poor mind up above, and it's a marvellous thing, dear friends, that I can continue to drive, and I say reasonably proficient, but still have my mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord can do it, you know. But I find it, dear friends, very good. And I was driving home from Clifton the other night, and yes, I'd been delayed quite a long time. And whilst I'm driving, I'm saying to the Lord that the Lord will not leave me to murmur and to repine, because it was a very late night, very long day for me. But I was asking the Lord, whilst I was driving, you see, if he would give me a heart true and sincere, and that I wouldn't be, dear friends, one to complain and murmur. And as I was going along, I was shown that I was in the Lord's business, you see. And that seems to be first and foremost, doesn't it? Set your mind or affection on things that are above. And it used to be so as well in my workplace many years ago, when the Lord had called me by his grace. And even operating machinery or doing my work or whatever I was doing, I was able that my heart was be lifted up in affection towards him. And it's through the Spirit of the Lord he's able to do it. And I do believe that the Lord knows the desires of the heart, the love that we have towards him. And he does draw us near to him. This is the mercy. For ye are dead. This is one of the most wonderful truths of the gospel. It means, dear friends, that we do not live those lives that we formerly lived. We are dead. We are dead to sin. Sin will still be a great enemy. Sin will be much prayed over. And John certainly knew in respect of that sin. If any man sin, he said, he knew that he himself, he could only write those things that he knew and experienced himself. If any man sin or have these infirmities and that are troubled and affected still by sin, and Paul, he had a body of death, and he saw that there was no good thing found within him, and it was a cry to the Lord, because that when he would do good, evil was present with him. And we find that. I find that. But it is a trouble to me. It is a burden to me that I should offend again that one whom we have sung together in the first two hymns, that I should still offend him more and more in respect of his sufferings and death. Sin, dear friends, it will be that will be a trouble and a burden to us all our days. But our wonderful mercy is that he has made a provision for those who are burdened and tried in respect of their sins. The publican might come to that same place 1,000 times, dear friends, pleading for mercy. That mercy still flows through the precious sin-atoning blood of Christ, that fountain of his precious blood, still cleansed, still heals, is the wonderful truth. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, and through Jesus Christ, my Lord, no other, dear friends, and that is our mercy, for ye are dead. Then we are dead, dear friends, to the world. Oh, it has no charms, dear friends, for a newborn soul. There's nothing here below, all its vanity and pleasures, for the soul of an enlightened sinner. There's nothing, dear friends. I just thought of a hymn that 1100, and it's a hymn that, yes, it shows the greatness of deliverance and the greatness of difference that there is in that change wrought within the soul. Let worldly minds, it's actually the words here, set your affection on things above. Let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Its pleasures now no longer please, no more content afford. Far from my heart be joys like these. Now I have seen the Lord. See, dear friends, to see the Lord, how everything, dear friends, it sinks away. When this glorious change came within us, we were weaned away from this world, from all its pleasures, from all that is in the world, weaned away until Christ is all and in all. And John reminding the church no longer to seek those things. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Oh, may we be brought to see that truth. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then it says, and the world passeth away. And it will. But it's a mercy if it's passed away from us, dear friends, in regeneration and brought us near to the Lord. Oh, that this is the wonderful truth here, for ye are dead. And we're dead, dear friends, to those great enemies of our souls, dead to Satan, to all his influences, to all his power. Yes, we have to ask the Lord to keep us. We have a testimony in the scriptures, dear friends, of those that were overtaken, dear friends. But, oh, may the Lord keep and preserve us from his power, from his influences. And he has power, there is no doubt about that. For ye are dead. We're dead to self then, dead to sin, dead to the world. Isn't it our mercy, dear friends? We're dead, dear friends, to that wrath of God. We're dead, dear friends, to that curse of a broken law. But we're, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It means that our lives are laid up in Jesus, laid up in Christ. What a wonderful truth this is. I think of the wonderful union that subsists between Christ and his church, the shepherd and the sheep, and then the vine and the branches, you see. Oh, there is such a wonderful union, such a wonderful relationship between Christ and his church. But it's Christ and his bride, isn't it? Christ and his bride is the wonderful truth. For your life is hid with Christ in God. And it is hid, dear friends, because it is true. It's the kingdom of God is within you, isn't it? The kingdom of God, it's wrought within the soul. It's that new life of grace. It's that soul that is adorned in the righteousness of Jesus. And it's a new life, you see. And it's hidden, really, isn't it? It's unseen. Simeon, the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, he couldn't see that new life of grace in that dear woman that came to wash the Lord's feet. He couldn't see, dear friends, that seed of heavenly birth. It was hidden within. But it was Christ, you see. That was it. He couldn't see Christ there. No, is the wonderful truth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. It's hid with Christ. And it's a life living upon him, isn't it? The world doesn't see it. And the world doesn't know anything about it. They may see us coming to the Lord's house and wonder why, dear friends, we're so constant and regular in attendance upon the ordinances of the Lord's house. They may wonder why. It's because they cannot see that life of grace in the soul, that life that brings us to Jesus, and that life that lives upon him, and that life that wants to feast upon his name and upon his gospel, you see. They cannot see it. And this is the truth here. And your life is hid. And it is hid. It's hid in Christ. But it's here, dear friends. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And it's in our worship, in the ordinances of his house. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And this is part of that life being hid with Christ. We seek Christ and we want to be with him and near to him, and we want to hear his word and what he will be pleased to come and speak to our souls. You see, our life is hid with Christ in God. We come to the ordinances of his house, where he is pleased to come and dwell in the midst of his people and watch over them and preside over our gathering, you see. Oh, our life is hid with Christ in God. And it is here that we meet with the Lord. And it's here that wonderful felt nearness and relationship is formed. You see, it's a real togetherness. It's Christ and the soul, isn't it? Your life is hid with Christ in God. So near, dear friends, is Christ to his people. And the wonderment of this, how that those that gather together, they want to be so near to Christ. They want to hear his word, you see, his word and his truth, his doctrines of free grace. They want to see him in all the glory of his characters and offices for and on their behalf, you see. They're a part of him, you see, is the glory here. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And it's hid in prayer and in supplication, the throne of grace, dear friends. Your life is hid. Oh, it's a life communicating, dear friends, with our God. It's through Jesus, because he has given to us such a glorious entrance unto God the Father, into the holiest of all. Oh, the poor wretched sinner can come into the holiest of all and communicate and commune with God the Father through Jesus. And Jesus pleads the cause and the interest of his people. Your life is hid. It's hid in prayer. It will be a life of prayer, a life living upon Christ, a life at the mercy seat, you see, because we need him for every part of our lives here below. We need him, dear friends, in respect of all our troubles and our trials. We can go to him. We can take everything to him, you see. Our life is hid with Christ in God, is the wonderful mercy. Oh, this throne of grace is open, you see, and the Lord delights to hear the prayers and the petitions of his people. For he hath said, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, he wants his people to come to the throne of grace and to plead their cause with him. You see, and our lives are hid with Christ in God. And then there will be those times and seasons of felt union and fellowship with him, of Father, Son, and Spirit, you see, union, communion with him. And we do believe, dear friends, that this will be a wonderful time and season, because we contemplate again the wonders of the covenant of grace, and where God is pleased now to dwell with his people and near to them, because Jesus has reconciled them unto God the Father. Oh, this is such a wonderful truth, dear friends, union and communion with him. And then I thought of those who, they that feared the Lord, spake often one to another. Their life was hid with Christ in God. They spoke of the things of Jesus. They spoke of their deliverances. They spoke of their mercies. And dear friends, those that are one in Christ can so do this. They speak all of what Christ is to them, what Christ has done for them, you see. how he has undertaken for them, and how he has come to their case and to their need. And we may have many things to say in respect of how that the Lord has appeared for us in his providence, and then also in grace, you see, how he has appeared for us. Come to us. Oh, your life is hid with Christ in God, is the wonderful truth. And when it says Christ in God, I think of the word Emmanuel, God with us. Same essence, same glory, you see. And it is Jesus, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Believe that is the truth here. Reconciling the world to himself, God was in Christ, is the wonderful truth. When Christ, who is our life, well, he is our all and everything, isn't he? All that we should need here below, he is our life. We live by faith upon him, a life of faith. We live, dear friends, upon him day by day. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, is the wonderful truth. And we live by faith upon him when Christ, who is our life, a life of faith. And it's true, isn't it, that faith is faith, and his Spirit is found in us, and we live upon him, dear friends, for all that we need here below. It's a living upon him when Christ, who is our life, and he is our life because he is managing our lives, isn't he? He is our lives. Christ, who is our life. Oh, where should we be, dear friends, if Christ wasn't in our lives? Where should we be, dear friends? We should be lost, you see, and we should fall 1,000 times in a moment of time if this were not the case. It is Christ that keeps us, Christ that preserves us, you see, kept and preserved by him. And he is our protector, and that one to defend us. Oh, he is, dear friends, when Christ, who is our life, and he is our life, may we know what it is, dear friends, to live a life of faith upon him, serve him all our days, be helped to please him and glorify him in our lives, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall he also appear with him in glory. We are journeying, and the Lord Jesus, he does want his people to be with him forever. That is the blessedness of his cross. That is just what he came to do. And it is here that when he shall appear, he is coming again. And are we waiting for him? Are we praying for him? You see, he is coming again. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And he is coming. And where shall we stand in that great day? Dear friends, shall he be our judge, or shall he be our redeemer? Well, for the Lord's dear people, and I pray that it shall be every one that attend this house of prayer, that in that great day when the Lord shall appear, that it shall be well with each and every one of you. Because he is coming, we don't know when, and we're not going to speculate in respect of that, but there are many signs, dear friends, in the earth today, where I believe that that time is closing in. But you see, what a mercy it is to be found inside of these four verses here. It's so wonderful. It's the gospel, isn't it? And then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And just read a word in respect of this, because it is a good word. It is going to be a day and a time where there shall be a wonderful change wrought again. If you can just bear with me. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. This is the poor sinner, dear friends, when it says this truth, that it is sown in corruption. It is sown in dishonour. It is sown in weakness. But the glorious change of this will be that it is raised in incorruption, raised in glory, raised in power. Oh, that change, dear friends, that shall come in that day. And then it says this truth, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, when I say thinking of those things that are above, and thinking of those things that are yet to appear, yet to happen, this is a glorious truth, dear friends, that this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. We shall forever be with the Lord. And let us not forget this wonderful truth in respect of this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Clothed, dear friends, in a glorious robe, white robe of righteousness, and we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. This glorious person whom we have sung about in our first hymns, dear friends, we shall see him that suffered, bled and died for us, and we shall forever be with him. It will be the completest joy and peace and happiness. And dear friends, we will never grow weary, dear friends, of an eternity. We will not understand what it is, dear friends. Our hearts will be fixed and settled and admiring the wondrous Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, upon the throne. May the Lord bring our hearts into it. Amen.
Collections in last Lord's Day amounted to £610, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be special services tomorrow when Mr. Pocock is expected to preach in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and 6:15. And the collections will be for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And our friend Mr. Ince is expected to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 160. There is a fountain filled with blood. drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. 160.
That we've been enabled to gather together this day in thy house of prayer. We thank thee that thou hast given to us a desire for thy name, and we thank thee, Lord, for thy gospel, and we do pray, Lord, that we may be blessed under it. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with us now as we go to our homes. Lord, be with us. Take us safely, Lord, and be with us in each and every step of the way. May thy name have all the glory and the praise. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.